This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Just Try It, brought to you by E-Bike of Colorado in Louisville, 544 Front Street in Denver, 3819 North Inca Street. Their number is 720-739-0299, ebikeofcolorado.com. Randy Carancy back with us. How are you, man?
I'm doing just great. Thank you, Scott.
Man, I love this time of year. Hey, it gives us time to do a lot of fun things, including riding your bike. Also, Pete's back with us. Good to see you, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, Wendy, do you like riding, Pete, in the morning or evening better?
I'm more of an evening rider. Right. I like to enjoy the sunset.
Yeah.
But when I was commuting to work, I enjoyed the morning rides because it's a nice way to kind of get the heart going for the day.
Sure.
And clear my head before a busy day of work. Right. I ride all hours of the day.
Yeah. Now that the weather's warming up, you know, as we start to move into summer, yeah.
You start looking around and go, where's Pete?
Yeah.
He's out on a test drive with someone. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. Randy, you know, we talked about this a few weeks ago, but I want to bring it up again because it is always something in just about every walk of business online versus buying in a regular brick-and-mortar store. And everybody, I don't care what the business is, we try to get the public to understand, number one, man, we need to support our, you know, family-owned companies and our local stores by going into the stores. That's number one that we need to do. But two, it's just, I mean, it's expensive to have a store, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you look at what, you know, you pay for your land, you know, your building, your lights, your insurance, all the different things. And when somebody comes in and says, oh, I can find this, you know, $200 cheaper online. Well, yeah, because you know what? All that person's got to do is ship it.
Yeah. And then you've got to build it.
Right.
And then you've got to get rid of all of the spoils, the cardboard and all of the, you know, we recycle all of that. Whatever we can recycle, we recycle it. Whereas, you know, and that's hassle-free, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that bike build's going to cost you $250 or in some cases up to $300 because that's what people charge to do that.
Right.
And so, yeah, buying from a reputable store is going to give you a lot of benefit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Over the online. Plus, if you were to have a warranty issue, just say that happened, the store takes care, in our case, mm-hmm. our store, E-Bike Colorado, will take care of that for you. We do all of the paperwork. We contact you. You never even know what we go through to get that warranty item repaired and whatnot, no charge to you. And you don't even see it. But if you buy that bike online and you've got to spend, you know, a few hours here and there and different people, you're talking to people that you don't know whether they're going to send you the part or not, or it's going to be the right part or
sure.
not. And then if you're not mechanically inclined, you'll end up paying somebody to put that part on for
right.
you.
So, Pete, let me ask you, you're on the showroom floor quite a bit, and I don't know what percentage of people walk in with something. I saw this online, and do you have it? I mean, do you see that quite a bit?
You know, that is common. People see something online and they come in asking for it, and we're usually able to find them something that actually works out better for their needs. The shopping online, I actually came across a situation this past week where a customer felt that they had received great customer service purchasing a bike online, and it goes a little something like this. They purchased an electric tricycle. It arrived, did not work. The company, I'll mention them, I guess, not, maybe I won't, Radbike.
No, go ahead.
They sent a battery to replace the original battery for this tricycle. Did not solve the problem. So then they gave them a return shipping label to send the tricycle home. And the customer felt that was great customer service. I said to them, I go, ultimately, what was your goal? To get a working tricycle, electric trike, right? Yeah. Well, they refunded it. It only took 10 days to get my refund. And I'm shaking my head, still wondering, at what point did you receive good customer service? Because at eBike of Colorado, you buy a bike, you're going to get a functioning bike. The first battery's going to work. The bike's going to operate. And you're not going to have to deal with shipping a 200-pound tricycle back, packaging it up. I think our idea of customer service is a little bit different than that.
Yeah.
That's interesting, Pete, because did they have to assemble the bike?
Because they assembled the bike.
Yeah.
It did not work. They went through all these hoops. Then they were still feeling like they didn't get ripped off, but they still ended up at our store, and we were able to help them out.
Yeah. So to assemble a trike is usually at least minimum a 2-hour endeavor for our mechanics to install.
Okay, so
because it comes in practically,
I would probably say triple that then for your average person. If you're a trained mechanic, well, yeah, it takes 2 hours.
It's not even an IKEA kit. It's something much, much different. And I'll tell you, trikes, the guys at the mechanics at the shop, they draw straws on who's going to build the next trike. Because it takes a lot of time and effort, and it's time-consuming. And it might not be hard. It might not be hard to do it. I mean, as long as you are mechanically inclined, but it just takes a lot of time.
They were just thrilled to get their refund. They got their $3,000 back.
And to be honest, they should, because you know what? There's a lot of companies out there that could jerk them around for a long time. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, to Pete's point, that's not their ultimate goal, because they lost another month, roughly, not quite maybe, but of riding and the hassle and all of that, but they didn't recognize it as a hassle. They recognized it. It's good. To your point, Scott, good that they got their money back. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the interesting thing. Rad has a store here in Denver, but they don't service their bikes. They tell you to take it to a local bike shop. Wow. So they're an online seller. I'm not trying to – I don't want to bash, or I don't want people
We're just educating our listeners on what to expect when you buy from eBike.
Exactly. Okay. And there's a lot of manufacturers out there with the very same business model.
Sure.
We'll have a brick and mortar because we have to have that to meet the coupon rebate program. Then from there they go, oh yeah, but we're not going to service it. So that's a problem.
Right.
And I also understand from their standpoint, from their management standpoint, finding qualified, competent e-bike mechanics is a challenge in itself. You hear me say it all the time, we're one of the fortunate ones. And we brought on a couple of new mechanics, phenomenal bike mechanics. They quickly are picking up on the e-bike side of things. We will certify them. We will train them in-house. And then they take our certifications either from Bosch or Shimano or different manufacturers that we carry the motors and the battery systems for our operation.
Sure.
So those guys are like, they're loving it because now they've added another, a weapon in their quill,
Sure. And to me, when I buy something, I want to buy it with confidence that, number one, it's a good product, and number two, if I have a problem, I got somebody that I can go look in the eye and talk to about it.
Yeah.
Whether I caused it, maybe I smashed my bike or whatever.
Well, here's what happens a lot of times.
But at least you're willing to help.
Sure. And here's what happens. You become a test ride store, brick and mortar, for an online seller, right? So we have to, at this time of the year, we don't do any outside work on any bikes that we don't sell. And the reason we made that policy, and it seems harsh, and there's times where, the staff wants to do this because they're like going, I feel bad for this person. But the point is that we won't have the mechanic staff and time to take care of our own customers.
Right.
Our operation has grown to a fairly sizable. I mean, we are the largest e-bike dealer in the whole state of Colorado.
Sure.
So We want to make sure we take care of that customer to the best of our ability. And so we're able to do that, and we're continually adding technicians
right
to do that.
Once again, Randy Kranch is with us, and Pete as well, from E-Bike of Colorado, 544 Front Street in Louisville. And their newest location, just a little over a month now, 3819 North Inca Street in Denver. The number is 720-739-0299. And at either location, you are able to do a test ride. Hence our name of the show, Just Try It. So we were talking before we came on air today, Randy, you've added a little feature to your sales process. If folks want to maybe spread out a few payments and get in a couple of bikes, hey, that may help a lot of people out. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so we do financing, and it's a pretty simple process. It's just obviously a credit app of sorts. I think we did it on Saturday at least once, maybe twice. At the Louisville store, I was there, and they just ran the customer's information, and within minutes, mm-hmm. they were approved, and I think they financed for 12 months on that particular one. We can go up to 24 months as well, and as low as 6 months.
Okay. So, man, that's a great way to do it, and especially if you're purchasing several bikes and, hey, want to get the family all tricked out there with their e-bike, you can do that or add some accessories, different things like that. So, again, that financing is available at both stores. So, Pete, let's talk a little bit about your side in the sales process. And, you know, are you finding that people – have somewhat of a good at, when I say education, that could mean like they think they know something but they don't, but are you finding some people are having a pretty good education on e-bikes today? They've done some research?
Yeah, it's getting better. Okay. Over the years, it's gone from people wondering what is an e-bike to you know, I want this type of e-bike, I'm looking for 500 watt motor and class 2 features. So they are getting a little bit more educated. The e-bikes are constantly evolving and changing. Right. So coming down to the store is a lot of times where people get the deepest education and the most research. We say the most research is done with your butt on the saddle.
Yeah.
When you get on the bike and ride, that's really when you're going to answer all the questions in your mind, all the things you're wondering. It's all going to get ironed out on the test rides.
Sure. And, you know, one thing, and you, since you mentioned the seating there, that was one thing that, you know, I liked a lot. I mean, I'm not the smallest guy in the world. And, man, to be able to change the seat out that you guys did on my bike, a little bit different, I guess, suspension and width a little bit, too. I don't know. But it just made it more comfortable, man.
Yeah, it's a common upgrade that we do.
And had I been looking online at a bike, I wouldn't even know that was available, you know?
That's true. That's one of the things you get at eBike of Colorado. We help guide you through the whole purchasing process, from the bicycle all to the accessories and, you know, custom parts on your bike. Comfort is first in a lot of people's world.
Right.
You know, and here's the other thing. There's a lot of people that come in that say, I absolutely do not want a rear hub motor. I don't want that throttle thing. I don't want any of that because I want to ride a natural bike ride, which is a mid-drive. And that is true, that you do get more of a natural bike ride. And then you start talking to them a little bit more and how they're, you know, they might have some balance issues. They might have some things that really lends them towards a throttle bike. And they don't know because they haven't ridden either of them.
Sure.
So that being said, so a lot of times we'll say, take this bike and ride the trail path. And then take this one, which is now, instead of a mid-drive, the first bike they rode, to a rear hub, and they ride that and ride the exact same path, and they go, they might change their mind. They may not, but at least they had the opportunity to try it. And that's our, you know, obviously just try it, but that's a big, big plus.
Right.
And we want people, you know, people come in and they go, you know, I've already ridden three bikes. I feel guilty riding another bike. I go, there's 30 more for you to try if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
You're not offending us at all. As a matter of fact, I would much rather have you try as many bikes as you would like, sizes. colors don't matter, but
sure.
But in the riding experience, except for people do like their colors, right. I understand that. So with all that being said, and you know what? Here's the thing. Patience. We operate very, very calmly with mm-hmm. people because it's one thing that a lot of bike shops don't do. I'm not sure about e-bikes, but they don't have a lot of patience with people.
Right.
And you need it because this is new to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Give them the time. Let them understand that it's okay to try a couple of different styles.
Yeah. And to be able to talk to people kind of on, when I say their level, I don't mean that as a mental level, but I mean just their knowledge on e-bikes. And I've seen that many times in both stores when I've been there and customers have been there where, you know, after a few questions, you can kind of tell what a person knows and what they don't know.
Sure.
And your staff's been super at just kind of starting at the level of where that customer is.
Yeah, and that's fair, yeah. Right? Customer only knows what they know. We sure. only know what we know. So give them that full courtesy, that full respect, that full awareness that they may not know. And they may have some misconceptions
yep.
of what it is that they're trying to accomplish
yep.
and what an e-bike is all about
sure.
as well.
Absolutely. Hey, you're listening to Just Try It, brought to you by E-Bike of Colorado, 544 Front Street in Louisville, 3819 North Inca Street in Denver, 720-739-0299. Welcome back to Just Try It, brought to you by E-Bike of Colorado. Hey, get by the store. I'm telling you, hey, the weather is now cooperating. It is getting warmer. And, hey, nothing like take the family out. Go over to there's location in Louisville, 544 Front Street, or the one in Denver, 3819 North Inca Street. And, hey, take a look at the bikes. And as we've been talking about on every show, just try it. And I promise you, these guys will get you fixed up. And don't worry. Hey, it's no high-pressure sales, any of that. We just want to get you in the store and introduce you to e-bike. All right. So, you know, guys, as we talk about this, and Randy, you mentioned this, I believe, on a show last week. You talked about, you know, being a very competitive arena, so to speak, as e-bikes. So when you look at what can separate you, there's a few things. There can be the quality of the bikes you carry,
yeah.
correct?
Yes, sir.
And that you pick those for reasons, and I'll let you go into that. Also, just, you know, your staff and caring, like we've just talked about, and helping people to pick the right bike. So let's start out with the quality of what you carry and why you choose, because I'm sure people beat your doors down, your phone rings, hey, you want to carry our stuff? You know, when you're selling what you're selling. So
every day I open up my inbox every day, somebody's hitting me up, if not a phone call, an email, something that says, hey, we're in the bike business. Mm-hmm. You know. And so what we do is we really research those bikes before we ever take them on. I'll be honest, I'm not that expert, but Pete is an expert. There's several people in our store that are experts on that.
Sure.
We don't just run that on, Randy says he wants to carry this bike. That's not how that works. We run that through the gauntlet, mm-hmm. so to speak, and you know, Pete will come back and he'll say, hey, look, we've got this situation. I'm not so sure this is the right bike for us because, you know, there's been these problems with their batteries or there's this problem with their frames or whatever. So that, you know, starts to eliminate some of the stuff. Or these are great bikes. They're, you know, they fit right within our guidelines, our expertise, and this is what we want to do, is have the correct bike. We, you know what? We've got 18 models, brands, and each one of those brands have several models within
sure.
that. So
that's a lot of bikes.
That's a lot of bikes. And, you know, we have a great stock. Mm-hmm. You know, we usually stock around, it's been up as high as 700, but, you know, usually we try to keep it around 400 to 500 bikes in stock at all times. And buying from E-Bike of Colorado, I can speak to that. You become a club member.
Right.
That club member includes, we're going to unbox that bike and we're going to professionally assemble it. Everything's going to be torqued to the manufacturer's requirements, and a qualified e-bike mechanic is going to assemble that bike. Not some high school kid, not that they're not. Now, we've got a high school kid in there that's very, very capable.
Right.
But what I'm saying is not just somebody to say, hey, yeah, I could probably install, I could probably assemble bikes. That is a qualified e-bike mechanic. That's one. And then we throw away that trash. We recycle that trash.
Sure.
That's another one. You get a tune-up out of the box. So that's your first free tune-up. Then you get another tune-up at 250 miles. There's actually a little indicator on some of the bikes that puts a little wrench on it, and it tells you. And we can set that at 250. We could set that at 1,000 miles. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
That's a you know, something that can be monitored. You also get 20% off of all bicycle accessories, and that's for the life of the bike as long as you own that bike. You also get moved up in the queue. Let's say you're through your warranty. Let's say you're through your free tune-ups and all of that. You got 1,500 miles on your bike or whatever, and you're looking for a tune-up or service on that bike. You get moved because you're a club member. You get moved up in that queue.
Okay.
And I think that's it. I think that's everything in a club member. Plus, you get the expertise of people like Pete.
Sure. Yeah,
there you go.
Absolutely. So, Pete, you know, when people come in, like, for a tune-up, what's the timing normally like? And I realize there can be busier days, and sometimes it could be sooner, but what's kind of the time frame you tell people?
That first free tune-up, we often are able to get it done same day or just within 24 hours or so.
Okay.
We try to get our club members serviced in and out of our shop about 2 to 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping a staff of mechanics on board every day is how we're going to do that. And there's a schedule. So when you drop off your bike, we'll let you know exactly when to expect the pickup date.
Gotcha.
We usually beat that date, but,
yeah,
you know, it depends on
parts.
If, you know, if it's a part that we don't have in stock, which we do have an extensive parts list in stock, sometimes you just can't carry everything, you know.
Sure. It's eBike of Colorado, and folks, I tell you, we have been thrilled with our partnership with Randy and his team, and, you know, we originally kind of wanted to just get them on Sportsman Colorado, but I'm telling you, this has become such a big deal here. I wanted to share it with our Haystack listening audience as well, because, hey, not everybody's into the hunting and fishing aspect, but you know, just getting outdoors, and Randy and I, we mentioned this several weeks ago. I'm telling you, this is great therapy, okay, just to get out and ride. And, Pete, you mentioned it earlier, man, riding around in the evening, watching the sunset or different things like that. But, man, it's no matter what your day was kind of like, it's kind of nice to unwind just being on a bike, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got this fallen tree out in the open space area that I visit most nights. bring my bottle of water out there and just kind of listen to the sounds of the wind and watch the sun go down. It's a great way to end the evening.
Very nice.
Was that tree falling before the winds last a couple weeks ago?
Whatever. Yeah, it's been down for a while.
I'm telling you, Randy. You know, we've talked about this, you know, several times, but I just want to hit it again. And we're going to try to keep everybody, you know, just educated. But a few weeks ago, we had a Colorado Parks and Wildlife on with the trail systems. And I just want to say, some people may say, well, gosh, where would I ride? I live in this area or this area, this area. There are a lot of places. I mean, I can't think of too many places you can't be within 10 or 15 minutes. I don't care where you live in the state to ride, right?
That's true, yeah.
I mean, you would think with all the trails we have.
You know, why don't we do a show on that?
Yeah, we will.
Let's do a full trail and pathway. We don't even have to do just the Front Range. We could do the entire state of Colorado.
Okay.
It would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's plan that.
Okay.
And people can actually, can't they send in their questions and
ask? Yeah, absolutely. Hey, shoot me a text, 720-201-8585. If you've got any questions about e-bikes at all, hey, and you know what? If we get a really good question, maybe we'll get you like a $25 gift certificate to eBike of Colorado. Sportsman of Colorado will buy a $25 gift card from Randy, and we'll give you a $25 gift card. So if you can stump the e-bike guys with a question or something.
Yeah.
But no, if you got a question, seriously, we want to help and answer, and we just want this show to be fun and educational. You know, if you're into bike riding and And you know what? Hey, we've all had to change some things over these last few years. Maybe this is a whole new idea to you to get out and ride bikes. And I'm telling you, it's a lot of fun. And but having the right bike is key. Having the right gear is key, as we talked about. Knowing where to ride, knowing how to ride, which we covered last week on the show with some bike riding etiquette, it can all be a blast, all right? And we want you to enjoy it. And once again, any test rides are available at both locations, 3819 North Inca Street in Denver and 544 Front Street there in Louisville. And guys, I've seen a lot of areas, you know, I'm in Highlands Ranch, but I mean, there's a lot of areas now on different streets where they have painted bike lanes, yeah. Randy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's really become quite popular all around the cities, isn't it?
Yeah, Colorado is adding a lot of bike lanes and bike paths, really nationwide. There's really a lot of expansion for commuting as well as recreational biking. So it's a growing sport. It's a growing hobby.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have something. We talked about doing the trail system as a show. How about a mechanic? How about I bring in a tech? And
we'll do
a question and answer tech. We can do that and have them answer anybody's e-bike questions, how to maintain just even a regular bike. But the thing about it is that if we do a show on that,
right,
we can answer a lot of questions. They can text you, and we'll have content to,
sure,
you know, for those that don't want to call in.
Okay.
But
Hey, shoot me a text. Again, it's 720-201-8585, and we'll answer your questions. And, hey, if you'd like to be put on a list and random to have a great job, do a great job on social media, is it E-Bike of Colorado Group Ride?
There's a Facebook group called E-Bike of Colorado Group Ride.
Okay. You can sign up there, but if you're not on Facebook or whatever and you just want to get your email on a list where they can contact you when about different events we may have, hey, you know, you can shoot me your email at that text as well.
And maybe the audience has a topic that they would like us to cover.
Sure.
Send us some of that.
Yeah.
We want this show to be for them.
Yeah.
For our listeners.
All right. So. For sure. And hey, give us a topic again and we use that, and we probably will. Hey, I'll get you a gift certificate to the store and let you go out and check them out. So, guys, once again, our time is up, but we'll look forward to our show next week. So, Randy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Pete, thank you, sir.
Thanks.
And thank you for joining us for Just Try It. Once again, any questions, comments, shoot me a text, 720-201-8585. Get out to the stores, 544 Front Street in Louisville and 3819 North Inca Street in Denver, 720-739-0299.
With everyone wanting more of your money, from eggs to gas to taxes, how do you keep more of what you've earned? Call 720-895-0500, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we can show you how to pay less interest on your home, have access to your equity for 30 years, and be prepared for unexpected expenses or emergencies. The market has changed. You now have more buying authority, whether you want to purchase with a rate in the threes on a 3-2-1 buy-down, or refinance and pay less interest to own your home faster with the Asset Manager Mortgage. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500, where we've been serving Coloradans for over 20 years. Government agencies continue to raise the cost of financing, whether to purchase or refinance. Let us show you how not to pay these increased fees with loan programs designed to pay less interest and put you in control of your equity. If you want to purchase a home with the rates in the threes, or you want to have access to your equity, call Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. In these difficult times, you can still save. 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. And MLS 298-191, regulated by DORA.
Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law has a unique background that makes him a more effective advocate for you. He handles both criminal and civil cases. Most attorneys only do one or the other, but Kevin has almost 25 years of experience on both sides, which means he has more practice in the courtroom. Most personal injury attorneys will say they have experience in court, but since only about 10% of personal injury cases actually go to trial, those attorneys only appear in court once or twice a year. Because Kevin also takes criminal cases, he appears in court constantly. Kevin has a rare ability to present an argument that only comes from years of experience learning how to read a courtroom. Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh continues to practice both civil and criminal defense because he believes the courtroom keeps him nimble. Trial tested, trial ready. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Schedule a free consultation now. 303-806-8886.
KLZ 560, your home station.
Welcome to Food Chat, a weekly show that's all about food production, including farming, ranching, processing, and basically all things involved in getting food from the field to your plate. Now, let's get you reconnected to your food, and here are your hosts, Greg Bloom and Chef Jackson Lamb.
Talk about an uphill battle, 2,000 acres of beans and cattle. He don't ever get rattled. He just goes till the sun goes down.
Welcome to Food Chat. Food Chat is all about where food comes from. I'm your host, Greg Bloom, and with me in studio is Chef Jackson Lamb. Chef Jackson Lamb, welcome to the next edition of Food Chat.
Or episode.
Episode, that's right.
There we go.
Very
good. Hey, Greg, what are we talking about today?
Well, today I thought that we would talk about pellet smoking or pellet grilling, because more and more people are getting into smoking meat or cooking meat outsourced with pellet grills. And now these grills are everywhere. They're at Costco. They're at Home Depot. They're at every ranch store. You can't go anywhere, hardly any Ace Hardware, and not see pellet smokers. They are turning into the preferred way to cook outside.
You know, Greg, I've been a chef in the restaurant industry in Denver for 20 years. I don't know one restaurant that has a pellet smoker, okay? That's not what we do.
Right.
We've got the big oiler smokers that take the hickory wood that they're built in Texas, and that's for doing ribs and pork butt and, you know, 500 pounds of meat at a time.
Sure.
So we're used to dealing with hardwood, gas, electric. And through that, that's what drives our smokers. But the pellet grills that we're seeing so frequently, that's a different thing altogether. And so if you could explain the technology behind that. You know, we've talked in the past where, you know, you start with a high temperature, then you go to a low temperature, then you bring it back up to a high temperature to sear it on the outside. But we don't do that in the restaurant business. So if you can kind of point out the differences, that might help our listeners understand exactly what pellet grills are all about. And when we say pellet grills, that's just a general term. There's a lot of people that are making them now. And,
sure.
And the pellets themselves kind of look like dog food, don't they? They're these little tiny pellets that's like kibble, but they get the job done. And it is wood.
It's real wood.
Yeah.
It's just chopped up and pressed real wood that's extruded.
Absolutely.
Through a machine. But yeah, I mean, it's really replaced charcoal grills. So you probably grew up with a charcoal grill. You had the briquettes. You put the lighter fluid on. You stand back. You throw the match. You just, the smell is awesome. Right? But that's what we all grew up doing with real wood. And real wood does almost always make meat taste better when you're using real wood than if you're using just, like, for example, you know, gas, propane, or natural gas.
Sure. You know, I've spoken to some chefs that do have pellet grills. There is a pellet out there called the Competition Blend.
Right.
And that's what they use when they're smoking and they're going to go into one of these food fests that we have all summer long. So a pretty interesting phenomenon. But in any event, we've got a compressed piece of pellet
piece of wood.
Yeah. So then how is it that we can regulate the temperature high, low, back to high? And what are some of the components of the grill itself?
Well, it's pretty simple when you take them apart and, you know, you need to do monthly maintenance or weekly maintenance. Not weekly, but probably monthly as often as most people would use their pellet smoker. But when you take it apart, you just have a firing pot and an auger. So the computer chip, you know, augers the pellets in to the igniter, which is in the little firing pot, you know, which is not very big, like 4 inches wide, 6 inches tall maybe, or 4x4. And the computer knows how hot that chamber is, and it knows when to put more pellets in to make more smoke or more heat, and it knows when to back off. So it's really, this technology wouldn't even work if we didn't have computer chips, you know. So,
you know,
but it's very simple.
I compare that to, I've got one of those, it's an electric smoker. It's 12 by 12 by 36.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can take that up to 275 degrees with no wood chips in there at all. So I'll allow that to come up, get the heat going, and then add the wood chips.
Right.
But again, I'm dealing with wood chips. Quite often, it's recommended that they're soaked in water so that they'll make more smoke. I don't think we have to do that with pellet grills.
No, you don't do that. In fact, you don't want your pellets to get wet or because they'll expand and get caught up on your auger. So, yeah, you got to keep them dry. But, you know, they're such a nice, low-maintenance, easy-to-use, non-intimidating piece of equipment. I think everyone that has at least, you know, a four-foot deck outside should have a pellet smoker. All you need is an outlet outside and a little bit of room, and your neighbors are going to love you because there's nothing better than the smell of smoke or smoked cooking food outside, I think.
You know, I've got a neighbor who, here we are in May. Today's going to be 75 degrees. She still has the fireplace going. You know, it makes the whole neighborhood smell like wood. I tell her it smells like Christmas.
Right.
Well, it's May.
Right.
But you're absolutely right. When you're grilling, I've got a neighbor in the back. I get up at 9 o'clock in the morning. What is he cooking back there? It smells great.
Yeah, right. It's a good way to get your neighbor's flavor juices going. So I would encourage Chef Jackson that if you don't have a pellet smoker yet, this is a great time of year, beginning of the grilling season, to get one. And, you know, I would tell people just go to your local Ace Hardware, or if you want a real good deal on one, go to Costco. If you're not near a Costco, go to if you're in the country, go to your local ranch store, Big R or Murdoch's. They all sell them. They sell several kinds. And I don't think that the brand matters that much. I bought a Traeger, but there's a lot of good brands out there. They all have a guarantee. They all work on the same premise. And also, you know, you can buy the pellets anywhere, but the cheapest place to buy pellets is Costco because they mark them up the least. But you can get your local smoke store. And I also found, Chef Jackson, just since we're talking about pellets, it doesn't really matter what it says on the bag as to the type of pellet, apple wood, cherry wood, oak, mesquite. I don't think most people, myself included, can taste that in the steak. Now, there might be some people that have such a discerning palate, maybe yours. You can taste all the varieties of grapes and wines and stuff. We've talked about wine before here on Food Chat. We've had a salmon before. But for me, when I'm eating a steak, I can't tell if the pellets were applewood or cherry wood or mesquite. I can't tell.
So, sure. Yeah. In fact, I was just thinking of applewood and cherry wood. Those are the two in the top of my head. I'm a traditional grill guy. In fact, I bought a brand new 5-burner grill last year. My question for you with a pellet smoker is, where does all the grease go? You know, talking about monthly maintenance, I've got to pull that drip pan out of the back, the bottom of my grill, and clean that thing. And it's not a pleasant job. Do we have the same kind of a grease buildup in a pellet smoker?
Yeah, so how they deal with that grease problem is that the catch pan below the grill, below the, you know, where the meat is on a slant.
Yeah.
And as the drippings come off the grill, they go into the pan and they're on a slant and they go down into a hole and into a bucket.
Yeah.
So about once, depends on what you're doing. If you're cooking a brisket, you have to empty that thing after you cook the brisket, right? But normally, about once a month, you're throwing that grease out. Or you can make a great suet ball with some bird seed for your friends in the neighborhood, namely the birds. So don't let that go to waste because that's really good protein and nutrition for all the local birds to eat. And they'll just love you, you know, unless you don't want to attract birds, of course. But no, they're pretty easy to, much easier to keep clean than a traditional grill.
Yeah.
That doesn't have the catch pan on a slant going into a bucket. You know, and then once a month, you got to get your wet, dry vacuum out and vacuum out all of the ashes.
Yeah.
That collect at the bottom. And also a little tip that I've learned is keep foil, aluminum foil on your drip pan and change it pretty often, because what happens and people don't realize is as those drippings hit that pan and that pan gets hot, it gets to 500 degrees, it burns.
Yeah.
If you've got too much chard on there, it affects the flavor of your meat. In fact, my son Jonathan has told me many times, "Hey Dad, this Wagyu steak you cooked, usually it's super good. It tastes like elk or something weird. It's gamier. You know what it is? It's always that I haven't cleaned the foil off that drip pan, and I've got extra flavors in there going on. So change the foil pretty often, like every week or every two or third use, and you'll go a long way in keeping your meat the best tasting as possible.
Sure. An old chef trick is you line that pan with baking soda.
Baking soda.
Baking soda.
What does that do?
Absorbs all the grease. Ah. It doesn't stick to the drip pan, and you just sweep it into your garbage can.
Oh, nice. I've not tried that.
So that's just, I've done that in commercial kitchens where, you know, you're working with a broiler, and again, you have that drip factor. It's baking soda absorbs everything. And then you can just sweep that up and throw it away.
It's got a million uses. You can brush your teeth with it. You can keep your refrigerator smelling great, and you can use it now. Now we learn to keep your drip pan dry.
Or, you know, if you have digestive problems, baking soda in a little water,
right,
clean you right up.
Right. Now, there may be people listening to this show, Chef, that really want a pellet smoker, but they're expensive. They're, $600, $700, $800, $1,000. My recommendation is to think about it like this. A piece of nice quality kitchen, a nice appliance in your kitchen, a stove or refrigerator, those aren't cheap, but they last you 10 years. It's the same as a pellet smoker. A pellet smoker used, periodically, maybe daily, will still last 5, 6, 7, maybe 10 years. So $1,000 divided by 10 years is $100 a year. It's not that much money.
Sure. And again, on the regular oven side, you buy yourself a Sub-Zero oven, that's going to last you forever, or a Viking, versus a General Electric or a Life Good oven. After 5 or 6 years, you might be replacing that. So,
right.
So, how about sizes of pellet grills? Small, medium, and large? Can we purchase them based on our needs?
I would say yes. I would say if you don't know how big of one to buy, start small. Here's why. Most of the time, people are cooking for 4 people or 6, maybe even 8, but you can put pretty much anything you want on the smallest of them. They use less fuel. They use less electricity. They have a smaller footprint. So I would go small rather than go big. And the problem with the big ones too, Chef, is that in the winter or when the weather turns outside cold, the bigger ones, because they got more, square footage, square inches, they're harder to keep, the heat temperature. The temperatures doesn't maintain.
Yeah.
When you're outside, but the smaller ones can hold temperature better, even in cold weather.
Very interesting. What a great phenomenon that is.
Now, Chef, let's talk about, for those people that I'm just not going to get one. I'm not going to drop a grand. I just don't enjoy it that much. So I want to do something inside. Well, you're not really going to put a pellet smoker in your house, okay, and vent it outside unless you're a real hillbilly, okay? Or, you have a really big hood underneath your stove. You could try it, I guess. But there's other ways to cook meat that turn out great, like sous vide cooking, for example. We've talked on this show, Food Chat. Yeah. We had a whole show on sous vide cooking. But for someone that's not heard that show or doesn't know what that word is, what is sous vide cooking and why is it such a powerful culinary tool?
Yeah. Well, sous vide is a French term which translates to under vacuum. And really what we're doing is we're taking a protein, or we can take fruit, we can take vegetables. We're going to put them in a vacuum-sealed bag, and then we're actually going to cook them in hot water. So when we're talking about steak, that's what I'm doing tonight, as a matter of fact. I have a chuck mock tender.
Wow.
That I took out of the freezer 2 days ago. For those in the audience that don't know what that means, the chuck is that big muscle in between the shoulders of a steer. And when the USDA came up with meat classifications, they did that 100 years ago. And lately, some scientists, food scientists at the University of California, Davis, said, let's take a look at some of these muscles again. And what they realize, inside of the chuck, there is another muscle in there that is just as tender as tenderloin. So tonight we're going to pull that out. We're going to spice that up. I'm going to put that into a vacuum-sealed bag. Sous vide, I can put that into water, hot water, 130 degrees. I can leave it in there for 2 hours, 4 hours, 8 hours, 24 hours. It's never going to get hotter than 130 degrees.
Right.
It's so I can't overcook it. That's the beautiful thing about sous vide. Unfortunately, it takes a little bit longer, so you have to meal plan into that. I'm planning on doing some corned beef next month. Takes 48 hours in the sous vide machine. Because it's brisket, it's a little on the tougher side, and we need that time in the hot water. Really, what's happening from a scientific perspective is the collagens in the muscles are breaking down, and that's what makes the meat tender.
Right. Now, if you don't know where to get a sous vide machine, you can just go to Amazon.com. You buy a sous vide stick. They're less than $100.
Yeah.
They circulate the water. You put that thing in anything that holds water, a sink, a pot, a pan, a cooler, you know, anything that'll hold water, you can sous vide in.
Sure.
And, you know, I like it because the method, because you're cooking the meat or the fish or whatever vegetables in their natural juices, and you can infuse flavors into there by putting herbs, spices, different other foods in there. Hey, what if you want to do a raspberry-infused ribeye? You could try it with a sous vide bag.
Sure.
You can't do that on a pellet smoker, okay?
Yeah. So a great example of that is, you know, a lot of times with carrots, we're going to boil the carrots. Well, instead of boiling the carrots, go ahead and slice them up, put them in the sous vide bag, suck out all the air, and put them in a hot water bath. They'll cook all right, but we don't have the flavor going out with the bathwater. They stay in the carrots, or they stay in whatever it is that we're cooking.
Right.
So that's the beautiful thing. If we had a food product that would normally be steamed or boiled, sous vide allows us to maintain a lot of the original flavor that was in that product.
You know what's interesting about sous vide cooking, Chef, and you're a food safety expert, so you'll appreciate this comment, I think, is that when we're grilling meat, we're always told that you need to get the outside temperature on that steak to 165 because E. coli and salmonella die at 165. If you're doing a burger or a piece of chicken or a piece of pork, you got to, or anything ground, right? You got to get the inside temperature to 165 because of the same reason. That's where E. coli and salmonella die. But with sous vide, you said you're cooking at 130. I cook at 135. That's also a kill step for pathogens over time, right?
Sure. Well, not only that. So tonight with my mock tender, I'll pull that out. I'll set that up today for Sunday dinner or Saturday dinner. So it's going to take 24 hours for me to cook that. When that comes out of the bag and out of the water, it doesn't look like a grilled steak at all.
No.
It's kind of beige, to be honest
with
you.
Not a great color, actually.
No, but I'm already at 130 degrees. All I need to do is drop that into either a very hot cast iron pan or on a wood charcoal grill, char the outside only for 5 minutes because the inside is already cooked up to 130 degrees. And just for our listeners, you know, a great rule of thumb is think of 130 as rare, 140 as medium rare, 150 as medium,
right,
160 as medium well, and then 170, the number you used earlier, that's well done. So really, every 10 degrees, we can go up a notch with those labels of rare, medium rare, and well done.
You know what I call a steak cooked to 170 degrees?
Garbage.
You should have eaten a salad. Forget it. You ruined the thing. But you know, now people that are just too intimidated by sous vide cooking, they're like, I'm not going to do that. But I still would like to be able to cook a nice steak, any kind of protein at home. There's other things. You mentioned cast iron.
Yeah.
Why is cast iron such a great way to cook versus just, you know, a non-cast iron pan?
You know, I've got several cast iron pans. One of them is just it's a 10-inch cast iron pan, but the other one is a cast iron grill pan. So if it's snowing outside, if it's raining outside, if I've got a bison ribeye steak that I want to cook, I can put it in the grill cast iron pan and get grill marks like it was outside.
Right.
The other issue is most other pans are made out of anodized aluminum.
Yuck.
They don't handle the heat very well.
No.
cast iron really not only captures that heat, but it maintains that heat so that as you're cooking, you're going to continue to cook. I think a lot of times when we're trying to regulate temperature in one of these, you know, cheaper frying pans, you know, you turn the heat down and man, the heat comes down.
Yeah.
Whereas at least with a cast iron pan, it does maintain that heat for a long time.
Well, speaking of cast iron, you know, I think there's an important two-step process that people that really want to learn how to cook some great meats need to learn. And whether you're using a pellet smoker and cast iron or a sous vide and cast iron, it's the same. Many, many things all start on that pellet smoker just to add some smoke flavor.
Sure.
But I'm not going to finish it on there. For example, my pork back ribs or spare ribs. If you try to finish them on your pellet smoker, they are leathery and chewy. So I put them on that thing at the low smoke setting just to get them infused with some smoke flavor.
Yeah.
Same as my brisket. I actually finish my briskets in the oven inside because it's more of a controlled environment.
Yeah.
And I can do it all night long and not run out of pellets in the middle of the night and have to get up at 3 in the morning to make sure I have pellets in there. But there's another great tool in the kitchen that I've seen you use before at Metropolitan State University, and that is a Dutch oven. What is a Dutch oven?
You know, a Dutch oven, again, is utilizing cast iron technology, but it enables you to stack things on top of each other. My, you know, in my background, I've done a lot of cooking on ranches in the West. I've been to the Chuck Wagon Cook-Offs in Casper, Wyoming. It's absolutely amazing. But quite often, they're going to be cooking one item in the Dutch oven on the bottom, and then they can place another cast iron pan on top of that, and that's where they're going to cook their biscuits or a secondary item.
Right.
So what's great about that is, again, we come back to the ability of cast iron to really maintain and distribute heat in an even way.
And also, cast iron cooking allows the whatever you're cooking in it to maintain its moisture because it's covered. So, for example, it's a winter day, it's snowing, or it's raining outside. I don't really want to go outside, okay? So I will use cast iron, on the stovetop to start my steak, get the temperature real hot, throw some butter on there, get a sear on it, right?
Yeah.
And then I'll cover it and put it in the oven at 350 and let it finish there. And when you do that, the meat, the roast, the food sets up and maintains its moisture. It comes out great. And it's forgiving, too, because you can even leave it in there a little bit too long, and maybe you get the meat a little bit more well done than you want it. It's still good.
You know, you brought up a very good point, and that is you put a lid on it.
Right.
And then put it in the oven. I have a number of the La Cuisée pans, mm-hmm. French-made. Cast iron, enamel painted, but all with matching lids. I'll start off doing a sauté in one of those pans, and then I'm making a pot au feu, which is a French peasant stew, if you will. But I'll sear everything on the stovetop and then put the lid on it and put it in the oven and let it go for about an hour. It's moist, it's steamy, it's delicious. I think when we take a pan and just put it in the oven, no lid, you mentioned it. Next thing you know, it's dry, it's leathery, it's not the quality we were looking for.
Right.
So, you know, using a lid in the cooking process, and whether we're in cast iron or in the cheaper type of pans, can really save your proteins.
Now, a cast iron pan, you know, won't set you back too far, $20, $30, $40, depends on where you buy it. They sell them at Cabela's, Walmart. They're a great thing to have in your cupboard. But a high-quality Dutch oven, now those are over $100. Some of them are over $200. So if someone's going to invest a couple hundred bucks in a very high-quality Dutch oven, and they're not a meat eater,
yeah.
Okay? There's a lot of other things you can do with the Dutch oven besides, you mentioned one, it made me think your description just now reminds me of one of my favorite animated movies, Ratatouille.
Yes.
You can make a very good ratatouille in a Dutch oven.
Absolutely. Baked beans or any of the legumes can be done in a Dutch oven, which is very appropriate.
Right. But you can also, you know, make casseroles in there, macaroni casseroles. So I would encourage people to, like, learn a culinary skill that's just very useful and interesting to them, like how to cook with a Dutch oven or how to cook with a sous vide cooker or how to cook. Everyone has their own thing. Me, I love pellet smoking.
Yeah.
You know, you're more of an indoor cooker.
Sure.
You're sauteing things. You're very comfortable in your kitchen.
Yeah. You know. But, you know, I must say that right outside the back door, I've got that new grill. And then I've got a Weber Smoky Joe.
Yep.
And then I've got the MasterChef smoker. So I've got all the toys are lined up outside.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think if people just have a limited space and a limited budget, you don't really need a gas grill anymore outside. Your pellet smoker will cook everything. In fact, I hardly ever use my gas grill at all. In fact, even burgers, just hamburgers, come out much better on my pellet smoker than on my gas grill, because it's against real wood, and that flavor gets infused in the burgers, and that you can cook them to whatever temperature you want, and they're just wonderful. So I there's not a better burger in my book than on a pellet smoker.
Yeah. You know, when you say you can cook it the way you want, can you set the time, rather the temperature on the Traeger like we're setting on a sous vide?
Yes, they. You know what the great thing about them, you could set the temperature, and now the new ones have a Bluetooth connection to your phone, so you're inside, you know, watching your favorite TV show or doing chores, folding laundry, whatever, but you lose track of time, and your phone sets you an alert that, hey, your meat's done, dummy, go get off the grill. Not only that, but there's a probe built into every pellet smoker now, so you put your probe inside your meat in the center, then you close the lid, and you're cooking to internal temperature. So you know internal temperature is much more accurate than the temperature of the unit itself.
Absolutely, and much more accurate than a handheld bimetal thermometer.
Yeah, when you put the bimetal thermometer or whatever handheld thing you got in, you just ruined the heat loss when you open the stove or open the oven or open the pellet smoker anyway and let all the heat out. So now you don't even have to open it to check it. It's just a no-brainer, right?
Well, and as you take that thermometer out, here comes the juice.
There comes the juice, that's right. So, yeah.
Very good. Hey, in wrapping up the show, tip of the week. You were talking about cast iron pans. You can buy them everywhere. Costco, Murdoch's, Ace Hardware,
Walmart,
$20, $30, $40. I have never bought a pan at those stores. I get my cast iron pans at Arc or Goodwill.
Oh,
a lot of people don't know what to do with them, or when, you know, estates are being shut down, they wind up in stores like that. They're cast iron.
They get a little rusty. People think they're no good. You
go
can
home
clean
and
them right
clean
up.
Clean them, yes.
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah. So you can go home and make that look like new.
Okay.
And so, you know, and you're out the door for less than $5.
I think you've given everybody a homework assignment for the weekend is to go secondhand, look for a piece of cast iron.
You don't have to buy it. Just look to see if I'm correct.
Yep. Very good. Hey, Chef, it was a great show today. Everyone listening, thanks for joining Food Chat again. You can find all of our episodes at www.foodchat.us. Chef Jackson, thank you.
Hey, everybody, happy eating. Bon appetit.
Today's episode of Food Chat is brought to you by RanchFreshMeats.com. RanchFreshMeats.com has the best selection of beef, bison, wagyu, air-chilled chicken, turkey, and Duroc pork, and more, all sourced from the family farms and ultra-clean USDA plants that they know personally. Take the mystery out of where your meat comes from and how the animals were cared for, and buy your family's meats at RanchFreshMeats.com. Hey, save 10% on your first order by using Food Chat at checkout. Orders over $200 include free shipping. RanchFreshMeats.com. Here's to the farmer that plants the fields in the spring, that turn from green to that harvest honey. Hold one up for the banker downtown that got him on his feet with handshake money. Here's to the farmer's wife that loves him every night, raising a son, raising a daughter. They gather around the table, send it up to the father. Somehow they get closer when times get harder. Here's to the farmer.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.